Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll begin a Thursdays in May series called Legal Weed with a consultant to Washington State's marijuana legalization process. Remember, voters there made that decision in November. Today's topic, who smokes pot, a demographic analysis. But before we do that, we want to take a couple of minutes and clear up some confusion around the various rulings on emergency contraception. As you've probably been hearing in the news, a federal judge ruled that so-called morning-after pills should be available to women of all ages over-the-counter, no prescription. Then yesterday afternoon, the FDA said that the age limit for these pills should be 15. Now, that's down from 17, but no younger than 15. And late last night, the Obama administration said it would appeal the judge's ruling. That is, the Obama folks are getting behind the 15-year-old minimum age as opposed to no minimum age as the court held there should be. So if you're saying, wait, what? You're not alone. So are we, confused. And here to clear up the policy and the politics is Sarah Cliff, health policy reporter for The Washington Post and Wonk Blog. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you for having me.
So did I get that rough timeline right? There were essentially three moves: a judge's ruling, an FDA recommendation, and an Obama appeal, all like in one day?
Right. You know, it's been a very busy few days in the whole Plan B emergency contraceptives world. It was very close to right. The only thing I would correct is the FDA actually made its decision about over-the-counter sales to 15-year-olds on Tuesday. So
okay,
that was actually a little bit earlier this week. But it was Tuesday the FDA made its ruling, and then Wednesday the Department of Justice
and
filed its plan to appeal.
Just to be crystal clear, we're talking about Plan B, the emergency contraception pill. This is not the so-called abortion pill.
Right. This is not RU486, which induces an abortion and must be administered by a doctor. This is something completely different. This is Plan B, a pill manufactured by Teva Pharmaceuticals.
And why was the previous policy 17 and then 15? On what basis do policymakers draw the minimum age line?
Policymakers at the Food and Drug Administration respond to applications that pharmaceutical companies send them. So in this case, it's Teva Pharmaceuticals has said, we would like to sell this product. You know, initially, there's an application to sell to women 17 and older without a prescription, and then younger with a prescription. A few years ago, Teva submitted an application saying, we think we should be able to sell over-the-counter to women of all ages with no restriction. And that was the application that was denied by the Obama administration in December of 2011. And that's the one that is at the center of this court case that we're talking about that the Obama administration is now appealing. So it's really the drug makers who tend to set these restrictions, and it's the FDA that gets to decide whether to approve them or not.
And, you know, that's an eye-opener because you think, oh, this is a debate between advocates for women's rights, for teenage girls, you know, independent decision-making on this from their parents or their doctors. And really, when you come right down to it, it's the pharmaceutical companies trying to sell more pills.
Right. I think, you know, there's both a pharmaceutical aspect of, you know, Teva would like to sell its Plan B product to more women. And there's also a policy debate about, you know, what should be the appropriate age that women have access to these medications. The Food and Drug Administration, in reviewing an earlier application from this pharmaceutical company, they reviewed the evidence and said, we think it is safe to sell this over-the-counter, that any woman of a childbearing age can take this without consulting her doctor, and there would be minimal risk. That decision by the FDA was very controversially overruled by the Obama administration, which said there wasn't enough evidence on how much 12-year-old girls would be affected, and therefore they would not approve the application. So it is an interesting intersection of both. You know, drug makers are more involved in this than some people might realize.
So that's a medical decision intersecting with a political decision about age and risk and responsibility and political acceptability. Where then does the court come in? On what legal basis does the court say, no, 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 you can't make that political or legal judgment yourself?
So that's actually an issue that's very much at the heart of the court case that's developing. Is what happened is after the Obama administration denied Teva's request to sell this product over the counter, and then there was a citizen's petition filed saying, you know, the evidence is there. We think we should have access. With some of the plaintiffs are younger teenagers who would not have access to over-the-counter Plan B. And in that court decision, which was issued on April 5th, the judge there, Judge Corman, in a New York district court, agreed with the citizen's petition, saying, yes, their scientific evidence is there. You, Food and Drug Administration, need to make this product available to all women over the counter. And what the administration argued in briefs they filed very late last night was that the judge essentially overstepped his legal authorities, that he can tell the FDA to review decisions or, you know, take a second look at its evidence. He cannot basically regulate in the place of FDA. He cannot tell drug makers where their drug is and isn't available.
And this is a federal court, so does that mean there's a constitutional basis that it somehow violates a 12-year-old's constitutional right not to be able to buy Plan B over the counter, or is it something else?
You know, they didn't get into constitutional issues, and these are pretty early filing documents, and we're still waiting for the main document of the appeal, which will tell us a bit more. But it's actually a relatively dull legal issue for a very heated political issue about administrative law and where does the legal system work into our administrative system, how much power does the legal system have to tell our administrators and agencies like the FDA how it should regulate the products that it oversees.
And people will have their opinions on this one way or the other, but I'm going to sneak in one caller here, because what we haven't gotten to yet is the argument for why a girl, not a woman, should be able to do this without consulting a doctor or without consulting her parents or something like that, because obviously people will divide on that question and say, no, you know, my 12-year-old daughter should not be able to go to Rite Aid and buy an after, next morning contraceptive pill without telling somebody. But Evie in Edgewater is calling to make the case why she should. Hi, Evie. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
Thank you. I got my period when I was 8.5 years old, and I know I'm probably odd man out in the box. But needless to say, I'm seeing a sort of a wave coming over this country where abortion is going to be abolished, or at least stigmatized to the point where women don't have these rights. If you can bear a child at any age, you should be able to resolve whether you want that child or not. This morning on the news, I heard that 250,000 kids died in a famine in some faraway country, and here we're trying to decide certain issues about having children or not having children. At 8.5, I could have had a kid. What was I going to do? Was I going to go out there and have sex? Probably not. But that child who goes to that Walgreens to go and get that pill and not tell their mother doesn't know that much about that kid anyhow. So you might as well just fess up to the point that the people who are having sex today are very young people. Older people in their 40s and 50s and 30s are busy. They're busy with careers. They don't have that much sex. So right now, kids, young kids, are having sex anally and all other ways, and they want to have sex. If they make mistakes, let them clear it up. Thanks so much.
Evie, thank you very much. And we'll leave that argument there, and people will, you know, decide for themselves if you agree. Although I think we may have to do a follow-up segment, Sarah, on whether people's careers get in the way of having sex in their 40s.
But, I don't know if that's in my expertise.
But to finish up, do we know how many under 17s or under 15s are getting Plan B pills under current law?
You know, I don't know that there's great data on that. That's an interesting question. I haven't looked at it. You know, one thing I would add that I feel like is getting lost a little bit in, you know, the very quick back and forth and all these decisions is that the Obama administration's, decision to move Plan B over the counter and make it available without prescription for women and girls 15 and older, that's actually a really significant liberalization of access to Plan B. Right now, it's kept behind a pharmacy counter, and even for women who are older than 17, they still have to go to the pharmacy. The pharmacy has to be open. So moving it out onto a shelf in a pharmacy, you know, next to Tylenol and other products like that, that's still, it's not what women's groups were hoping for, and it's certainly not what the judge ordered, but it's still a very significant, you know, change in how we regulate this contraceptive product.
And just for the record, it's been an explicit Obama platform position since the reelection campaign to limit this by age. So groups that feel like he's selling out women's rights, well, maybe he is, but it's not a change in position. He's actually held that position consistently. Right.
Sure, that is right. I think, you know, the hope from women's rights groups were, when this ruling came out last month, is that Obama's not up for re-election now. He could just, you know, instead of moving proactively, he could just let the judge's ruling take effect. And I think there was, you know, from women's groups, this when Secretary Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, overruled the Food and Drug Administration on allowing over-the-counter sales, that was the first time ever that an HHS secretary has overruled this regulatory agency. And
right.
It was really, women's health groups were very disappointed. So I think there was a hope that, you know, as we moved out of an election cycle, that the administration would change its stance. But like, as you mentioned, this is, they're supporting the exact same policies that, you know, they had supported about a year and a half ago when this became an issue.
And so the legal age limit for over-the-counter Plan B heads up the legal chain to be revisited. Sarah Cliff, health policy reporter for The Washington Post and Wonk Blog, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, Who Smokes Pot? A Demographic Analysis. Stay with us.